welcome to the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning's Entrepreneurs and Experts series. We're here to talk to Lewis Liu, co-founder and president CamGan, and Andrew Lin, entrepreneur and former CEO of Orthomimetics and CamGan, about their involvement in the success of university spin-out CamGan and bringing university-based research to market. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Molly.
Thank you very much.
Lewis, perhaps you could tell us about CamGan, the novel technology on which it's based and how it started. CamGan was formed in October 2010 to commercialise groundbreaking research in the field of gallium nitride-based light-emitting diodes, LEDs, at the University of Cambridge. Did I get the LEDs pronunciation right?
That's very correct. The group I did my PhD in was the Cambridge Centre for Gallium Nitride, which is a semiconductor material for light-emitting devices. In our group, we've got committed work on this material for over 10 years. And part of the very interesting technology that was developed in our group include the gallium silicon technology. So the difference between this technology and what's normally used in the industry is we can actually grow or fabricate gallium nitride, this light-emitting material, on silicon substrate in contrast to the normally used sapphire or silicon carbide substrate. And we can actually do it on 6-inch in diameter. That's a larger substrate than the normally used 2 to 4-inch diameter.
Now, what do you think? That's a nice explanation. But what do you think the greatest impact of the technology is? Because you say the ability to achieve consistently low defect densities in a thin layer structure sets your technology apart from others. You know, that might seem confusing to some. But was it always evident to you that this was a major industry breakthrough?
I think it is, to the whole group of us. So the key thing is about the massive cost reduction that this technology provides, because the unit cost of the substrate in our technology is only 10% of what's normally used in the industry. And there are also other cost reduction factors along the sort of supply chain. But yes, we do see this as a major breakthrough.
Well, there you were in this Cambridge laboratory conducting your research. Did you always think, eureka, I'm going to be able to take this to market? This is a major industry breakthrough. I mean, you're a scientist, so with a scientific training. Yeah. When did you think you wanted to be a businessman?
That's a very good question, and it all started from this IGNITE program in the CFEL. Well, before that, I was simply not aware at all that I had any interest in business. And there was a summer in 2009, and I was bored with experiments and want something different. So EPSRC has very kindly sponsored a place in this IGNITE program. And so I took place here, and the minute I started to take their lectures, I found that was so fascinating. For example, one of the lectures given by Herman Hauser, he was talking about the business model, and that gave me some inspiration that you can actually start something from zero, even in the semiconductor industry. So, and I developed my very preliminary business plan and gave my first ever pitch, and this was all done within 6 days of this IGNITE program. So I think it might be the most compact and efficient 6 days that has such a huge impact on my life, I had to say.
Yeah, Herman Hauser is motivational. He just says, yes, go for it, doesn't he?
But it sort of worked for me.
Let's switch to you, Andrew. What was your involvement in CamGan? You were an experienced businessman.
No, certainly. I was brought in, to put it as simply as possible, because I rather like the people who were involved. So Lewis, Colin Humphreys, and Dan Zhu, who are the founders of CamGan, brought me in to advise a little bit on something I have some experience with, which is the technology transfer from the university into a company. From there, again, I can't stress enough because I rather like the people, continued to work together. I was asked to write the business plan, and they very kindly asked me to come on as chief executive of the company. And it was a real pleasure to work in such a fast-moving field, a different field than healthcare, which was my previous industry. And you know, I think all things considered, we had a rather good result. So this was a lot of fun, and been happy to be a part of it.
So you liked the people. Clearly you didn't want to fail them. You had some sort of startup experience before. But the hurdles, when you were writing that business plan, did little bubbles come out of your head and think, gosh, this is where we're going to have difficulty. This is where we've got to show a lot of faith in the people and the technology. What were those hurdles?
I think this is a particular sort of opportunity in that if you pop down to B&Q these days, you see all sorts of excitement about light-emitting diode-based bulbs. They cost about £30 for every single bulb to replace a 40-watt or 60-watt replacement. So the opportunity is there, and really one of the biggest challenges was that with so many players in this market, we had many opportunities to do business development deals, to take on a company and grow it, or to do as we did and sell it on to a new partner. So really evaluating all the opportunities that aren't always available to a small company and making the right decision was a pleasant challenge to have, but a big one nonetheless.
Lewis, the hurdles for you, did you ever think, gosh, we're not going to be able to raise this startup capital? How much did you need? And what about building a team? Andrew's talked about liking the people, but, were you suspicious of some?
Well, to me, founding the team has never been an issue to us at all, especially once Andrew joined us. I think things began to come together, and the technical team have had a lot more confidence. And even for raising the capital, I think we've attained serious interest from all sorts of potential investors, including financial investors and strategic investors. So that's not really been a problem for us. The hurdle, the sort of big challenge for me and for us, I think, was the speed of this industry, how quickly it sort of develops. If you see the resources that the big companies have poured into the relevant field, and also if you see the price dropping by about 5% per quarter of the LED product. So that's the big challenge for us.
And it must have been, you talked about the Ignite program at the Yes. Centre for Entrepreneurial Yes. Learning, where we are here today, but those networks, those people, Herman Hauser, did that give you a confidence in going to market, as they call it, and getting the capital?
I think it's probably even more than simply confidence. It's a lot of support and a lot of mentorship. All the events organised both by the CFEL and the Cambridge University Entrepreneurial Competitions, they've provided sort of dedicated support and mentorship, which helped me to build up both confidence and skills that will help me have myself better equipped to go for the business in the real world.
Now, if we look at where CamGaN is today, you've teamed up with Plessy, I believe, to bring to market products for replacement bulbs based on the CamGaN, GaN on silicon technology. How did this come about, and what's the impact of it? Perhaps we can start with you, Andrew.
No, certainly. The specific relationship with Plessy was one that existed with Sir Colin's group at the university for several years. But really, we were speaking with a number of potential partners, commercial partners for the CamGaN technology. And really, it comes down to, again, relationships, but also a technological fit down the supply chain. I think Lewis mentioned that there are many players in many parts of the supply chain. Effectively, in the simplest possible terms, the CamGaN technology addressed one part of the supply chain that Plessy didn't have access to. Plessy had the next bit of the supply chain, lots of existing infrastructure. To put the two together made a whole lot of sense, both from a technological standpoint and from a commercial standpoint.
Well, Lewis, perhaps we can just take a rain check here, and you can tell us about this rapid success story and what you think you've learned as an entrepreneur during this time. But tell us where we've come from to. Where are we today?
I think looking back, it's a very interesting question. Looking back, I start to feel that above everything else, it's about the sort of the change of the way I look at the world. So previously, as a scientist by training, I sort of look at the world, look at the physical world by the sort of scientific point of view. I look at this technology. If I look at a laptop, I can see the liquid crystal on the screen. I can see the magnetic stuff in the hard disk. I can see the optical story, etc., etc. But since I've got all this business experience, I start to look at say a laptop. I can look at the brand. I've got a Lenovo laptop, and they've sort of acquired the IBM PC part in 2005. So this sort of stories in the business world start to come together in my mind. And I think it's very complementary to the previous way I look at the world. And I think it's a more mature way of looking at the world and actually interact with the world. And I think all the rest, the sort of business skills, the negotiation techniques, are just a natural result of this change of the view of the world. So I think that's the sort of biggest lesson I've learned through this experience.
Well, if we look at the Kamgan success story, I know that people are saying that, you know, you brought it to market, you got 10 million. Did that exceed your expectations? Can you make any comment on it? Andrew, let's turn to you.
Well, we can't strictly comment on the total value. We were certainly very happy with the exit. And I think in terms of a precedent, it is extremely rare that a company so early, formed with so few people, is able to achieve this sort of return for the university, for the founders, and to see the technology moving on to market. So we're delighted with the result, and I don't think we can say it any more accurately than that.
And did you ever think that, Lewis, that your kind of 6 days on the Ignite program would yield rewards?
I had absolutely no idea about it, and I think that's actually a good thing, because all the reason I started this was solely from the sort of internal interest, and I didn't. To be honest, this is an earlier exit than I have ever thought.
Okay, well, look, Andrew, let's turn to you, because if you're working by yourself, the scientist and then the businessman, whatever networks or support you've got, and in Cambridge, they're clearly exceptional. But it takes a lot of confidence to think, well, my work is worth in such a short period of time. But Andrew, you'd had experience of starting up a venture. You founded Orthomimetics in 2005, which was subsequently acquired by Tigenics. This was also a university spin-out from Cambridge University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, wasn't it? Explain a little bit about how starting up one must have given you confidence in the other.
No, without question. I think Lewis has covered quite a lot of these already, but I think in having an idea, having some end users, surgeons in the case of Orthomimetics and consumers in the case of Kamgan, having that affirmation that what you're doing has some practical benefit is certainly a big confidence booster, but more than anything, the access to the network we've talked about around Cambridge, and in Orthomimetics' case, the network around MIT in Boston, is the affirmation that you mentioned previously. It's giving confidence that the idea that seems like such a good one in our own heads is actually something that other people are excited about, are willing to put money down to back, and are willing to take to market as well. So it's a tremendous environment where you can find, again, I keep saying it, good people, but also good resources to back you up.
And that Orthomimetics experience basically gave you a head start?
Without question, yes. I think having seen a number of the aspects that are involved with selling a company, be they legal, be they financial, be they tax, or again, be they personal, I think that experience helped me a tremendous amount. It can be a very lonely and daunting experience to start up and run a company as well. And the second time around, it's a little bit less scary.
Andrew, this is a highly specialist field of orthopedics and regenerative medicine. Is it important to know who your competitors might be and whether your advance is the cost-effective one to bring to market? Do you have to, you know, visualise your competitors every day and say, we're going to beat them, or have some similar mantra?
Well, it's certainly essential to know who your competitors are. I think it's very tempting with a clever technology to put our head in the sand and assume that we're the only ones with a technology that does a similar thing, or that there are no substitutes. So it's absolutely essential to know what the competition is. I think that forms a large part of the networking, of making sure that you present your ideas to as many people as possible, because if that competition exists, you are going to hear about it if you talk about your own technology to others, and you're not going to know about it at all if you don't.
Now, let's just stick on this Orthomimetic success story. You started in 2005, merger in 2009. Did you expect it to be so quick?
I didn't, is the simple answer. However, I think the answer is somewhat more complex. And with both Kamgan and Orthomimetics, for the companies themselves, the acquisition was the end of that entity. It certainly wasn't the end of the technology and the product and the benefit to society. So, yes, I certainly didn't expect that the exit for Orthomimetics would come so quickly. I think the progress of the technology and the continued existence is one of the most exciting parts of it. So in a way, it didn't end, in fact.
Well, now I'm going to reveal your secrets, because similar to Lewis, you did also attend the CFEL Ignite program in 2005. It was known then as the summer school. Do you feel much the same as Lewis, that it was, if you like, a shaping experience for you with orthomimetics?
Very much so. One experience I often count to people is the experience of 50 entrepreneurs, technologists, being absolutely enthralled for an hour by an accountant of all people who was explaining how to assemble a balance sheet, P&L, and a cash flow, which is nothing short of a miracle as far as I'm concerned. But I think the concentration that Lewis mentioned, the relevance and the motivation that everybody comes in to Ignite with are big factors into making that a phenomenally concentrated and phenomenally high-value experience. So I couldn't agree more with Lewis. It's a wonderful experience.
All right, well, let's just backtrack on some of that business history. When Orthomimetics was acquired by Tigenics, they said at the time the consolidation represented a natural extension of their core business strategy to provide the best regenerative medicine solutions to orthopedic surgeons worldwide. Did you target Tigenics specifically? Back to that question of just knowing where you come from and where you want to go to.
Well, I suppose this is further to your question of knowing your competitors. Tigenics was, in a way, a competitor of ours as well. So we did not specifically target Tigenics any more than we targeted any one of our other potential partners or competitors. That being said, having established those relationships very early on allowed us to go to Tigenics when we had some other offers on the table and say, well, would you like to participate? So no, we didn't target Tigenics, but we'd certainly known them for a long time, and that's why we knew the fit was good.
Now, we've talked a lot about success, but we also know from Silicon Valley they have a phrase, fail and fail fast, and we don't have in the UK, but we hear a lot of in Cambridge. When you were helping Lewis set up Camgan as a co-founder, did you think, well, you know, we did this with Orthomimetics, we made that mistake, we mustn't do it with Camgan? Was there something, a lesson that you taught from one to the other that was foremost in your mind, that you were sort of in modern jargon kicking yourself for?
Yeah, I think there are many of those, and a lot of those came out in the time that we were negotiating the potential deals with various partners, the way we selected our various partners, and a lot of the aspects of the legals, frankly, in the sale to Plessy. So I can't pinpoint one, to be perfectly honest. There are plenty of them. But I think, yes, without question, there were many things that were taken.
If we just move to you, Lewis, you and Andrew are both PhD graduates of the University of Cambridge, the materials science department. So do you think you've benefited from that entrepreneurial culture fostered here in Cambridge, and that ecosystem, the fact that you could be in your labs and still think business as well as thinking science? To me, it seems daunting.
Yes, the word ecosystem is very well used here. You've got people with very different visions and skill sets, and from the technical side, from the investment side, and from the business side. So all sorts of people coming together. And there have been quite a few successful stories before Orthomimetics being one of them. I think it's the sort of track record of this place that makes you believe that you can make things happen here yourself as well.
So what advice would you give to anybody looking to commercialise university research or technological innovations? I've heard some sort of CEOs in their leadership seminars talk about being perfectly frank with your business partner, being frank with your team, telling the story as it is. If you're cross with one another, say so. So have you got any advice or tips to people who want to do the technology spin-off?
I think, especially coming from sort of a PhD student point of view, I think as scientists by training, we've developed this sort of a logical and critical and, you know, this type of thinking. And it's actually a strength, even in the business world. It's transferable skills. So we should make use of that. We shouldn't be afraid of that at all. But on the other hand, there's also the intuition thing that we need to, as scientists, we probably need to reinforce. Because you've got to have this internal interest, and you've got to actually do something hands-on to follow your interest and follow your intuition. I think that's the sort of advice that I can think of.
So, Andrew, do you agree? Intuition? Any tips for technology entrepreneurs or those working in the life sciences sector?
Absolutely. I think the simplest way I could put it is to say get lots of advice, get lots of feedback on your ideas, but make sure you question every single bit of it. If your intuition is telling you there is still an opportunity out there and all of the advice has failed to dissuade you from that, it is still worth pursuing and it's probably going to be the idea that makes you very happy.
So you've got to be a bit headstrong, have you, Lewis?
Yeah, but also I think intuition needs sort of motivation as well, and that's why all these sort of training and mentorship absolutely helps.
And so have you now, Lewis, got the Cambridge entrepreneurs bug?
Well, gladly and luckily, I don't think I have, because the new sort of we became a new sort of a subsidiary in Plessy Semiconductors. This newly set up sort of project within Plessy is a group of people working together, still very much entrepreneurially, because this is something new to the whole business, to those engineers who's been in the silicon side for 20, 30 years, I don't know. But so something new for them, and we are working still very efficiently, which I'm enjoying a lot.
Andrew, would you just be touring the corridors of the university, whether it's the materials science department or perhaps the Ignite program, various schools, just to hit on the next successful entrepreneur?
Well, answer unabashedly, yes, I will be, in fact, yes. Now, this is a wonderful place to find wonderful technologies, and the opportunity to really take those to the next stage of commercialization is one of the most exciting things I can imagine doing as a job.
Well, congratulations to you both, Lewis and Andrew. Thank you for talking to us about your personal experiences of taking university-based research and innovations to market for the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning's Entrepreneurs and Experts series today. I think I'm just about to go off and form a company.
Thank you very much, Bonnie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.